You are listening to Agency Work, the podcast that provides career advice for people who want to work at a creative agency. I am your host, Parker Playstead. Today, I am talking with Kevin Flores from CapTech. Kevin is a creative director at CapTech, where he leads the customer experience team. Kevin has a Bachelor of Arts degree in graphic design from Tampa Technical Institute. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, those who don't know Kevin, he's a bit of a rock star. So I'm expecting the rock star to show up today. So Kevin, thanks for being here. And I want to start off our podcast today with a description of CapTech. It was founded in 1997 and is well known as an information technology and IT consulting company.
That's right.
But it's evolved quite a bit. So I'd like you to talk a little bit more about the evolution of the company and why they brought you in, because you're not a traditional IT guy.
Yeah, I was asking myself the same thing for a little bit, but quickly understood. Yeah, absolutely. CapTech was founded in 1997, 21 years ago, and deeply rooted in information technology. Over the course of that time, about 6 years ago, it wasn't enough just to do websites or just to create a digital experience for someone. We had started to reach the point where, okay, we're not just going to put websites or web experiences out there. We started to reach the point where it was, we need to understand the users better. We have a great person who was already at CapTech who had a doctorate in human-computer interaction, which I always love hearing that. His name's Dr. Snook. Jason Snook is awesome. And he was the first sort of CX, my air quotes here, employee that came on and started to do user research, started to understand the personas of the people who were using the technology that CapTech was developing. And so once he started to work with clients and say, okay, we're going to do insights, research, analysis, we're going to do click tests, we're going to understand those customers, the clients said, wow, you really got to understand our customers really well. Since you understand them really well, can you put together like information architecture of what this site should be, what's important to them? And so said, sure. And so did that. And they said, wow, you really understand the whole site, the flow of the site, how you want it to be. You did that well. Can you take it and go do the wireframes? And said, sure. And so by then, some time had passed, and we started bringing on specialists in this. And so we brought interaction designers in. And then they said, wow, you understand the flow of the site. You did the wireframes. That's basically the architecture, the blueprint. Can you design the site as well? And then so eventually brought design in. So when I was talking with CapTech, they were hiring a creative director, and I questioned them on why are you talking to me? I come from an agency background. And they said that, well, we're really comfortable talking to the information systems, to the IT people, the CTOs, the CIOs. But now those worlds at that C-suite level are colliding. The CMOs, the chief marketing officers, and the CTOs are working side by side. And when we go to talk to the CTOs, we tell them about all of the nuts and bolts of the how things work and how we program and how we develop. And when we talk to the CMOs, it's a little bit of a different language. They don't care as much about the development side of it. They want to know how they're going to market it, take it to market, what the consumers are going to feel and experience.
Right. So what the consumers are going to see as mm-hmm. opposed to the code in the system, they're more focused on what is the consumer going to see, the customer who interacts with the website or whatever it is you're designing from a technology perspective. They're focused on the visuals of it, and that's an area of expertise you bring to the work that you're doing.
Right, that digital brand experience.
As you've seen this evolution at CapTech, and that was a great description of each step where CapTech could bring more value to the customer, more services to the customer, help them with implementation of projects. You've also noticed that as they brought you in with a graphic design and an agency background, there are other companies that start with the agency model and are bringing in the technology people. So they're merging in a way. So it used to be the IT companies and then the creative agencies. Now IT companies are bringing creative people inside and creative agencies are bringing IT people inside. Can you talk a little bit more about what you're seeing there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I made the shift over to a traditional, again, air quotes, ID consulting firm, some people looked at me and like, what are you doing? What did you just go do? But I'd done a lot of research and I'd seen what I saw as a race, really, between traditional ad agencies and consultancies. Consultancies are, you know, the big four, you know, some of the biggest ones are Deloitte and Accenture and PwC. And what I saw them doing was buying up digital agencies left and right. That's how they were delving into that world. They had a very high access level to the C-suite and would kind of come trickle down their services and their offerings into large Fortune 5 and 100 companies that way. And the agencies were coming in from the marketing side, but didn't always have that holistic operations view. So I think that there is a race. You have that going on right now. The agencies are trying to boost their digital experience. The consultancies are trying to boost their creative prowess, and we'll see who wins. I mean, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting race. And it's a bit of a challenge in that the creative people and the IT people, generally, if we look back at college choices and as people evaluate their expertise, creative people tend to say that they weren't good at math and science and they went the creative route. And people like me that were math and science oriented went the engineering route instead of the creative route. So you've got people that tend to have different skill sets and different ways their thinking works, and now you're bringing them together into one organization. So how has that worked out? As you bring in people that have the creative talents into the kind of structured mindset of IT engineers, how is that playing out?
Yeah, it's really interesting. One of the things, luckily, a lot of the groundwork had been laid for me by a couple of previous creative directors who had been there before me, as far as helping us internally understand how a creative agency works inside a IT consulting firm. So one of those creative directors told me before I came on board is that we are able to develop anything that we can dream up. And that really resonated with me because so many times at previous agencies, we would concept the idea to the ability of our developers. So if you were a WordPress shop, if you were a Joomla shop, if you were an expression engine or whatever kind of developer you had, you were coming up with concepts that could be done within that platform a lot of times. Or maybe there was a couple platforms depending on the size of your shop. But the nice thing here is that I feel like a kid in a candy shop. It's like we literally just take the challenge from the client and truly look at that holistically and just say, hey, what is the best solution here? And then we put the team that can build it. And we have so many people, brilliant people, who can build whatever we've come up with. We haven't stumped them yet. So whether that's augmented reality or virtual reality or in apps, whether it be native iOS or Android or you name it, they've come up with it all.
That is cool. So you've got all these developers with specialized skills and can develop these digital products for the clients. And things are rapidly changing with Alexa and voice-activated things and more prevalent connection of devices to the internet. You know, the mobile apps, all these things. So now you have an opportunity to work on the front end and the customer experience side of more complicated solutions for customers. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I tell people I feel like I go to school every day. I mean, not only is the technology just changes constantly, but it's stuff that I haven't worked with in the past, you know? Now to create a brand experience that's only with voice, coming from a visual fella, that's been a really different experience, and I'm still, you know, getting my toes wet in that right now, to be honest with you. But there's experts here that I lean on so much that that have helped me make a smoother transition into that world, and that do it a lot better than I do.
So let's get into the different branches of customer experience design. There are a lot of different branches of this. There's a lot of variety underneath it. It's kind of a big umbrella. People talk about user experience and user interface design and so on. But let me hear you talk about the range of branches within customer experience.
Yeah, we're in a really weird spot in this industry right now. The nomenclature hasn't been established yet. I can go to a recruiting fair, let's say down the street at the Brand Center, and you know they have an experience design program. Well, we're customer experience, but we hire the same people for that they're training. So there's a difference there. Then I can go to anywhere, whether it be at the Brand Center, not going to pick on them, but I can go anywhere to any digital agency, and somebody says, well, I do UX. And even though I'm in the industry, everybody has to ask, well, what do you mean by UX? So that could be somebody who is really focused on user insights. So research and analytics, understanding that user and doing surveys and qualitative, quantitative analysis and that sort of thing. Or that a UX person could also be an interaction designer. And that could be somebody who's working out information architecture charts and wireframes and flow charts. Or even saying what are the actions going to be when you hover or click and that kind of thing. And then you have UI, which is user interface. And so there's all these U's and X's and I's and all of these things, and people just sort of intertwine them, and you can sort of see their head spinning as they're getting ready to say the letters. And it's a problem right now. I mean, we have to figure out a common language. There's companies like Microsoft that are trying to establish their language as the language that everybody's adopting, but it hasn't naturally happened yet, and it's not going to happen until something does. You know, back in the, traditional advertising days, going back to all the way to Mad Men, for those of you Mad Men fans, you had a creative director, you had an art director, you had a copywriter, you had an illustrator, you had a pre-press, and you knew what those things were just by the title. But now, right now, because all of these industries have sort of floated up over the past decade, all of these titles have formed themselves. They haven't formed consistent descriptions.
That's a great overview. Thank you. So let's talk about working with the customer now. So when you work on a project, do they bring you in to meet with the customer early on in the discussion, or when do you meet the customer team and have the discussion about your contribution or the contribution of the customer experience team? When do you come in, and what does that conversation look like?
Well, we really like to get in as early as possible. We don't consider ourselves just a design shop that, you know, makes the experience look nice or smooth or, you know, slick. What we're really doing is using design to solve business problems. So we like to talk at the business problem level. Let's come in. So we have some clients where, you know, they come to us and they say, we need an XYZ app. And sure, a lot of times, especially when the CapTech design firm was younger, we would say, okay, we'll deliver that. But now what happens is the relationships have grown, and we've done products with these clients, and some have worked great, and others we've tested and saw ways to improve them. But now as the relationships evolve, more and more clients are coming to us and saying, not we need an XYZ app. They're coming to us and saying, we have this business problem. How can digital help us solve it?
That's great. Yeah. So that's a better starting point, where you're helping shape their vision of what the solution is going to look like, instead of them coming in with a preconceived idea of what the solution is going to look like.
You bet.
Let's switch over to an example of a project you worked on that you described to me that I thought was really, really cool. And it's a neat application of the skills that you guys have for a great cause. And this was an augmented reality project for a hospital. So I'm going to just let you describe it.
Yeah, this is, wow, it was an awesome project. We have innovation challenges at CapTech. So we have our normal work, which is very innovative, that we do for our clients all the time. But also internally, we have an initiative called these innovation challenges. Each quarter, our senior leadership picks a technology that is up and coming. We call them tips of the spear, that is something that we have either dabbled in or have some experience in, but want to really build out like a proof of concept or a case study. They put the challenge out and they'll just give out the technology, whether it be AR or voice or natural language processing. Those are examples of some of the ones that we've done. So a few months ago, the challenge was augmented reality. We put a great team together. We had myself, creative director, we had designers, we had developers, we had UX analysts do research, and we treated it like a real project, even though it was something we did kind of on the side, like a passion project. We didn't go into it with a specific idea. Even though I formed the team, it was all very flat team. Everybody held equal voice, but we all pitched in ideas and said, what do we want to do with augmented reality? What could we do to help make people's lives better with that? And we had originally played around with some ideas about enhancing a museum experience and potentially using your mobile phone to scan a piece of artwork, and maybe something pops up and gives you, in augmented reality, a deeper understanding of that piece of art. But we ran across a couple of things that were kind of similar, and we didn't want to do that. But we kind of that led me to a conversation that I had actually had with my brother, who is an architect in Florida, months before. He was working on designs for a health system in Tallahassee, and he was just talking about how they designed the health system, the whole hospital campus, to be really super slick, and it was great, and it was beautiful for adults, but also that he mentioned the fact that kids had to be there too, but it wasn't necessarily, quote, a children's hospital. So he was like, we're trying to figure out some things about, you know, how can we make it a little bit more friendly for kids? And we just shooting the breeze over the phone, we're like, wow, it would be cool to use augmented reality to enhance that experience for the kids. And so when I mentioned that to the team, they sort of glommed onto it too, and they're like, oh man, that would be cool. Then we started digging in and the research, self-proclaimed nerds, as they will call themselves, were like, let's do some digging into this. What we found was really, really interesting. As soon as we searched Google for ways to make hospitals less intimidating for kids, there was just pages and pages and pages. And so hospitals had already been digging into this. Of course, GE is leading the way, we found, with making MRI machines, dressing them out, sort of wrapping them to create an experience where before, when kids would have to come in, and it's intimidating for adults to be in an MRI, kids are even more scared, so they would have to be held down and sometimes even medicated to go into those. But by creating a really exciting experience, they could turn the whole MRI room into a pirate ship with graphics and banners, and they give the kid a hat and a foam sword or something like that, and to where the kids, instead of screaming and crying and having to be medicated, they are asking, can we go back tomorrow to do it again? And the relief that gave to the parents, and the parents felt so much better. So that led into the second leg of human-centered research here. How can technology help? So we looked at the stress levels of the parents, and we pulled statistics on them. And then we also looked at, well, okay, people are in the hospital. A lot of people, we looked at it sort of rabbit holes led to people getting lost in hospitals. So we said, well, there's a wayfinding component that we could also do with augmented reality. So all three of those things came together to form our three kind of primary personas. And the solution we came up for all of those personas was an augmented reality experience that allowed the kids to hold the phone and be guided by a character through the hospital in a wayfinding format with paths that they follow to get to the room that they are going to. Then when they get to that room, the room is they hold their phone or their tablet up and look around, and the room is decorated through the tablet in augmented reality in a way that is not in real reality. So that solved three problems. One, it gave the kids something else to focus on other than the fact that they're walking down this long hall to a scary doctor's office. Two, It gave the parents some relief knowing that the kid wasn't so scared and intimidated. Also, when the parents get to the room, they have to fill out a bunch of paperwork. This can take a long time. So it gives them something to do while the parents are doing that. And then three, one of the things that we found out was hospitals lose a lot of money in wayfinding because of missed or late appointments. People don't make their appointments because they get lost in the hospital. In fact, Emory University did a study that said they lost $200,000 a year due to poor wayfinding in either missed or late appointments. So it was a great solution that really at the heart of it all was about the kids and making their experience better, especially during those tough times.
That's really cool. I mean, that's such a cool project with such a human interest story, helping the kids and the parents and everybody involved, I mean, the hospitals and everything. So thank you for sharing that, because I just found that to be a really cool example of customer experience and augmented reality specifically. And it reminds me of the Pokemon game, but this is a whole lot better than the Pokemon thing. But it's, if anybody's trying to visualize what this might look like and you're familiar with that Pokemon augmented reality game, this is has some visual similarity to that. But it's for a purpose that benefits so many people, and it's just a really cool solution.
Yeah, it was really fun, and the personality and that can be breathed into the character that's walking you through that experience is the really fun part.
So was this a app on a phone, or how was it delivered for somebody to use it? Right, they've got some kind of device, a phone, a tablet. How do they access this? Was it loaded as an app or something like that?
Yeah. So like I said, this was with our innovation challenge. So this is a proof of concept. We did actually get it to work. We got it to work through our office. And basically, it's an app that we developed. And for the proof of concept, we had to map out all of the coordinates of the hallways and the offices and the rooms and the furniture and tell the app where all of those things are so that the augmented part of the reality experience could react to that, whether it be a turn around a corner or setting a character up on a table. We set the app up. The developers figured out ways to do that in a way that they were actual three-dimensional characters that you could walk around versus just two-dimensional characters that you can see in front of you like Pokemon. So it's really technologically, I don't do it justice, but they can tell you a lot of the details behind the development and the processes that go within that.
So Kevin, this is interesting work in customer experience and user experience design and so on. And it's so new, and there are people going to school on it now, but you've been out of school for a while, and there are a bunch of people doing this have been out of school for a while. As you look at the other people doing this kind of work that you encounter, can you point out any pathways they took, you know, things, jobs they had, where they developed their skills after college, or experiences they had, projects they worked on, companies they worked for, any insight on how they got good at doing what they do?
Yeah, so like you said, there are schools now, not when I went to school, but now that specialize in experience design, user interface design, but it doesn't always have to be design-based either. We have some people that have come into our world from research and insights, analytics backgrounds. Dr. Snook, who I mentioned before, is a great example of that. His research skills, his chops are impeccable. He truly gets deep into the psyche of people and what they want and what they need, what might not be as obvious on service level to our customers. So he's going to be the first person to tell you that he's not a designer, but in ways he designs the experience. He helps design what that flow is, and lift the information that people want so they don't have to comb through a bunch of stuff that they don't want. Then in the middle of that, you have interaction designers. Interaction designers are the ones that design the wireframes, and sometimes the researchers cross over into that, and sometimes the designers visual designers cross into the interaction design. So it all depends on kind of your skill sets. But then you have your strong visual designers, and a lot of those have transitioned from traditional design shops, agencies, very similar to how my path grew.
Okay. And you were in graphic design, worked for some prominent agencies in town, had your own agency doing graphic design work for a while. So you're very much a visual designer.
Absolutely, yeah. I started my career down home in Richmond working for Circuit City corporate headquarters long, long time ago, and in the recruitment advertising department back then, and met a lot of great people, and then moved to the agency side, worked for a number of just really great agencies around town before opening my own agency. Did that for 9 years. Started it myself. Worked from my dining room table at first, but then grew and had a great team of five people, you know, at a certain point. And then I got tapped by Kelly O'Keefe, who was at Padilla CRT at the time, looking to help grow their creative team, and took that as an opportunity to work with him and build something from the ground up there. That was a great transition, and got to work with teams across multiple cities of designers and UX analysts and architects. That led to my experience to have this opportunity at CapTech.
So that was kind of the transition point from being really a visual designer. The work you did at Padilla was the bridge that expanded your skill set and the types of projects you worked on, and led to the current role you have at CapTech now.
Yeah, but it was interesting. At Padilla, they were building a creative team inside a PR firm. At CapTech, building a creative team inside an IT consulting firm. At both places, it's really interesting. At the end of the day, we're speaking the same language. We're trying to achieve the same goal. I tell the story sometimes as my... When you talk about languages, you know, they were PR, this was IT, and then there's creative. All of these things are sort of merging. My grandfather was from Mexico, and I remember, for those of you in Richmond who know Biorritmo, the band, it's a Cuban band, and no offense to them, but I played them for him, and he was just like, I can't understand them. They speak too fast. And it was really interesting to me. I was like, oh, wow, I just... always, you know, I just thought you would be able to pick right up on that. But the dialects were different. And so that's sort of the comparison that I make here. You know, IT consulting is solving business problems. They're trying to reach the same goal at the end business problem. We're coming at it from a design and creative side of things, brand experience. We're speaking the same language, but it's different dialects. So sometimes there's trouble understanding between the tech people and the creative people, and somehow I've had the opportunity, or I guess the ability to help translate that. And I certainly don't know a whole lot about the tech, and there's a lot of people that know a lot more about the creative. But I enjoy being that sort of segue, that bridge.
That's great, yeah, because things are getting more and more complex. We've got these disparate pieces of things, and technology is getting more and more pervasive inside of marketing and public relations and advertising and so on and so forth, all these things. We can't ignore the advancement of technology that is coming along, and those who do risk becoming obsolete. So it's helpful to have people like you who can bridge those discussions and translate and facilitate the conversations, which is a good thing. I would say, I would guess, from your graphic design communication skills and the work you're doing in customer experience, that probably comes naturally to you to be explaining and illustrating to other people what the concept is and the goal is and the direction of the team. Is that a fair thing to say?
That's the part that I love. When I talk about the work, that's when I get really pumped and passionate and excited, because I love creating just something that helps make people's lives better through a digital solution.
Cool. All right. Well, Kevin, this has been a fascinating conversation. the user experience stuff, the customer experience stuff, all these different branches of customer experience and user experience is an interesting topic. And I appreciate you coming in and giving some clarity to this and a really cool example. I love this example of helping the kids and the parents as they go through the hospital and making that hospital experience a better experience for the kids and for the parents and achieving goals for the hospital itself. So there's a positive ROI for the hospital to justify doing this. Fantastic story. I love that. So thank you, Kevin. It's time for me to wrap this thing up. We've run out of time. To our audience, you have been listening to the Agency Work Podcast. My guest today has been Kevin Flores from CapTech. We've been talking about user experience design, customer experience design, all the different branches of it, and this really cool augmented reality project that he worked on. To learn more about CapTech and the cool things going on over there, go to CapTechConsulting.com, so CapTechConsulting.com, CapTechConsulting.com. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And to our audience, thank you for listening. I will be back next week with a new guest, and I hope you will tune into that episode. This podcast was recorded at Red Amp Audio in Richmond, Virginia. This is Agency Work, signing off.
Rock on.